It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
I have a brother who's 3 years older. Right. Now, you have brothers and sisters, too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sisters, yeah.
You have sisters. And are you the oldest or youngest?
Yes, oldest. You're
the oldest, yep. Okay. Well, I'm the youngest. I got one brother. He's older. We sit down and talk about our experiences growing up. We have two different dads.
Isn't... Really?
Same dad. I mean, I don't know.
Biologically speaking, same...
Same biological dad, but we have two different experiences.
Isn't that different? Isn't that interesting?
Same... You know, my dad was a... he started churches, so we grew up with the same faith belief system. You know, rode in the same car together. You know, I mean, it was mom and dad, the four of us. But his experience, what he went through with my dad, was different than what I went through. We're only 3 years apart, so it's, you know, we don't have a huge age difference.
Right.
But different personality styles.
Huh.
He and my dad are the same, so they're kind of that strong.
Oh, yeah.
Personality,
so
they're heads.
Yeah.
So his experience around that and his viewpoint is different than mine. But here's what is the same. He experienced rejection. My dad was a difficult person to please growing up. So it didn't matter what the personality style is. I'm the conflict avoider. So how do I process that rejection coming at me? I climb up, I shut down. I'm gonna get through this with the least amount of conflict. My brother, he's gonna charge after it. Bring it on, right? Which causes more extroverted rejection issues, you know. So, and my dad's not one to back down from.
Sounds like two alpha males going at it.
Yeah. In those terms, you get two alpha males, two A-driven personalities. I'm like, I'm just trying to keep the peace and get by here with the least amount of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle remains the same, Amber, and that's we both circle this rejection. And I struggled with that false guilt. I didn't want my dad to reject me because I didn't measure up to his standards, right? And the irony of this, my dad is the one that taught me all the stuff I'm telling you about. He worked through it in his own life, you know? So I've learned these things. So here's a phrase that I've developed that helps me mentally and emotionally, my mind and my heart, stay focused. And the phrase that I will share with people, depending on the situation, is, I refuse to receive that false guilt.
I like that.
I just simply look at a person in the eye and they start going off on what I've done wrong or how they're upset with me and you should have done this and should have done that. Which is a good, the word should. Anytime you hear the word should have, that's just kind of a trigger that this is a judgmental statement.
Right.
Okay, someone, because no one likes to be should have.
No.
No one wants to be should have. You should do and you should do. Well, that's your judgment about the situation and the person.
Right.
That doesn't mean that's the truth or what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So when I start hearing that kind of language, you know, I just simply say, well, I refuse to receive that false guilt. We try to keep the conversation on what's most important in the information rather than everyone's feelings about what's happening right now.
Can we use the same philosophies when it comes to relationships, romantic relationships, or is it different?
Oh, man, that's... Well, it's not different. Romantic relationships, marriages, husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, all of that kind of stuff, you know, you're taking your stuff with you into that relationship, your patterns. And I tell people all the time, look, it's not about my husband or wife, because before you met each other, you already had these patterns.
Right.
So you could remove that person, get married again, and guess what? You're going to reprocess the same stuff.
And that's probably why some people get married 3-4 times. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Because they think in their mind.
It's the other person, but it's really them.
Well, if they would change.
Yeah. Well, here goes to some, we might talk about this in another show about things we can control. Mm-hmm. We can only control our own self, how we act, what we say, what we do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And on this, you know, people, on the point of rejection, people reject others because they're really rejecting themselves.
Really? Wow. Why would someone want to reject themselves? They don't feel good enough to... be with that person, or they don't feel good enough to achieve, they don't think they can achieve that goal, or...
Exactly. They're, whatever their internal processing is, that they're not good enough, not smart enough, not fast enough, whatever it is that they're not enough. Well, if they carry that internal process, you can only give what you have. And sooner or later, it's going to come out. Now, you might have people listening to the show thinking to themselves, I don't reject people. Well, there's two types of rejection. And I don't know how much time we have.
Keep going. Keep going.
And because it's been said this way, you know, the absence of a good thing is just as damaging as the presence of a bad thing.
Oh, wow.
So just because you're not a person who is out there telling people what's wrong with them, what they need to change, how they need to do that different, doesn't mean that there's not a rejection communication happening. A person being closed down, withdrawing away from people in the situation, sends a message of rejection to people.
That they don't care enough about what you're going through?
Bingo. You're not important to me. Your situation, what you're happening in, let's go back to your situation, husband and wife. It's one of the biggest frustrations in marriage.
It is.
They shut down. They won't open up. It's kind of like talking to a wall emotionally. See, that's a rejection message to the spouse. Whether it's male or female is irrelevant, right? I'm not important enough for you to process through what's going on in my life with me, you know. So this rejection is internal, and we give it externally, and it shows up in different ways. So my suggestion and my encouragement to people listening is, if you're feeling the sting of rejection from other people, do your best to understand that person is hurt. You know, hurt people hurt people.
That's true.
So they're only going to give you what they have, right? My dad came out of a situation where he was physically abused, he was sexually abused, he was verbally abused in his home. So when he was 17 years old, he knocked my grandfather through the window in the house and left and said, I'm never coming back. He never came back. He gets married, has kids, me and my brother. He makes a lot of changes in his life. He matures through a lot of it, deals with it, but there's still a lot of that emotional pain inside.
Oh, yeah. I mean, going through all that. Man, especially in your formative years and the people you're supposed to trust and you can't because they've hurt you in such a hard, personal, deep way. I mean, that's incredible.
It's a lot of years to work through.
It is.
Processing. What does that mean? What does that say about me as a person? How do I fit into it? You know, that was my grandpa's own problem, you know, my grandma, but my dad's trying to figure his place out in life and what does it say about me? All of that's happening. So I grew up in an environment where there was no physical abuse, no sexual abuse. My parents didn't get divorced, no alcoholism. It wasn't all of that. But there was still a lot of emotional consternation in my home. So I grew up in this environment being inherently I'm the peacemaker. I'm avoiding conflict. And I'm looking out at my house going, all you people do is fight and argue. It's emotional tenseness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
My dad's perspective is, hey, I don't beat you. Right?
Yeah,
right?
This is better than what I had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Better, you know, you should be grateful.
Yeah, exactly. You should be happy.
Good,
yeah.
You know, I actually like to spend time with you. I'm looking for ways to hang out with you. My dad, you know, which was my grandfather, but my grandfather never spent time with my dad. You know, he actually thought my grandmother got pregnant by another man with my father. Right. So he never really accepted him as his own son.
Oh.
The irony in it is my dad, the youngest of four children, looks more like my grandfather than my uncles do. Like, identical.
You know? Wow.
So all of that emotional stuff, my father's looking at me saying, you don't have to process that. You're in a great place. And I'm going, hey, you have no idea, buddy. Right? So everyone's bringing their own experience into the generation they're in, right? So I understood as I got older, my dad, his rejection that he brought to me was because that's what he was dealing with. It had nothing to do with me. If I was never born, it would just be with whomever else.
That's right.
So as we get older, maybe we can intellectualize it, but the emotional part of it is still challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I just want to encourage your listeners, if they're processing through that rejection, understand if it comes from other people that's closest to them, they're responding that way because that's what they have inside and they're working through it themselves.
Or at least I hope so. Some people don't ever work on it.
Well, when I say when they're processing it, I'm not meaning they're trying to solve it or resolve those issues.
Oh.
I'm saying that's their process in life internally.
I see. Okay.
And if it's not you, it's other people anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Just plug in the person. They're going to go through life and leave a wake of rejection.
That's right.
Because that's who they are. And so one of those steps to dump that is to say, look, I refuse to receive that false guilt, and I will refuse to get into the rejection game, like the ping pong game back and forth. There are certain conversations I won't get into with family members. I'm going to stay out of it because it's going to bring up all the rejection stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ways I can dump that habit and be different. Yeah.
Any other tips for us about that?
Well, understanding the ways for me, because you mentioned earlier, and we could talk about this in other shows, about the control and what I can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the definitions of overt rejection being very open and obvious and very clear, you know, screamers, yellers,
yeah,
throwing things.
I've known those people.
What's wrong with you? You need to stop, you know, always have an opinion about something. Well, that's overt rejection.
So those people, what does that mean, over rejection? Those people have experienced more rejection than others, or?
It's not so much they experience more. It's maybe it's just their personality, how they're wired, and how they're processing the stimulus around them. Okay, they're going to be more like, you shouldn't do it that way. You're dumb for doing that. That's just how they're doing it.
And then they get when they get mad, they scream and yell. Yeah.
And we can identify as a society that is rejection.
Yes.
We identify it quickly. Man, that's rejection. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, and a person can identify growing up, I had that situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So as an individual, I look at my life and I have a tendency to be a screamer. I'm a verbal person anyway. You know, so I have no problem being in front of people, speaking, talking. All that's great for me. So I tend to be kind of a yeller when I get frustrated, mm-hmm. okay? And my wife has helped me over the years of being married. Because she's the opposite of that. She's very verbally quiet. And I don't think she could yell if she had to. So she's opposite. So that's been brought to my attention. So something a person can do is they can identify, spew out's the first thing that came to my mind, but do I reject people overtly? Am I yelling and screaming at people? I need to reel that in.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch how I speak with people. You can't do so much about people who've rejected you in the past.
You can't, no.
You can't. That's over with.
That's right.
It's happened. All you can do is take responsibility for where you're at now.
That's what I was trying to work with my cousin before he took matters into his own hands, so to speak. I would tell him, like, you know what? You're a grown man now. What your parents did back then wasn't great. But now you're a grown man. You don't need your parents like you did when you were a child. Now you can make better decisions and you can do this and that. And prayed with him, went to church with him, or brought him to church, I should say. And man, some people just have a hard time letting that go. And what in those situations, the only thing you can do is just pray for them. And sometimes they have their own choices and what they're going to do with that rejection. And it's sad when it doesn't go in a positive manner, but please don't put that on yourself, because that's an easy thing to do when someone takes matters into their own hands. Well, I could have done, or I should have done, or I, you know, that I think is another form, don't you think, possibly, of that guilt, guilt?
In my view, suicide, rejection response.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate form. It's like it's the pinnacle of the guilt process, the false guilt and the rejection is I'm out. They've reached their limit. They're not going to deal with this anymore. There's no regard for those around them or what's going to happen in their response.
They cannot see past that.
Suicide, and it's a very complex subject.
There's
a lot that goes into it. So this is not the bottom line of it, but many times, not all the time, but many times the physical suicide is the individual rejecting everyone else. Here, deal with it.
Yeah.
Daniel.
And that's exactly what we had to do. I mean,
yeah.
And then you're just left with, well, maybe if I, well, I could have, or, and I had to come back and say, I did everything I could possibly have done. And now they had their choice and they made it. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great choice, but that was their choice. And so it was really easy for me to want to accept that guilt. That if I would have, if I could have, if I should have, if I would have said this, if I would have done that, then maybe.
And that's a false guilt trip, Amber.
It's terrible.
I'm glad that you identify it, but a lot of people absorb the guilt from suicide of a friend or family member.
Mm-hmm.
Because they ask, it kicks off, very natural by the way, kicks off the grieving process.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me this week. You know, we have so much more to cover. Can you please come back next week? That would be great. All right, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.